in all the Bible. It is used in many different ways in the Bible, and as I've been looking through Isaiah, it's used in several different ways in Isaiah. Zion means heaven. Zion means where God lives. Zion means Jerusalem. And Zion means the church. Zion means the redeemed of the Lord. Last week, the last one we finished up with was one that was very familiar, Isaiah 28:16. It says, "Therefore says the Lord God, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and whoever believes will not act hastily, will not make haste," the old King James says. And we talked about that, and that is also repeated in the New Testament in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 2, where the cornerstone, the chief stone, of course, is the Lord Jesus. So that is the cornerstone of Zion. So now turn in your Bible one page to Isaiah chapter 29, and we look at verse 8. Isaiah 29, we shall look at verse 8. Now, these are kind of in isolation, and to get what they really mean, you'd have to read before and after. But let me assure you this, that nothing is said against Zion. Now, we'll see in some of these that she went through some hard times. But still in all, Zion is the triumph of God. 29:8 says, "It shall even be as a hungry man dreams and looks. Look, he eats, but he awakes, his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams and looks, he drinks, but when he awakes, and instead he is faint, and his soul still craves, so the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Zion." Any nation that fights against Zion is going to find itself in want and in need. And you know, it's so interesting to look at the news and see the importance of Israel in today's news. None of us know what's going to happen, but we know that Israel is the focal point. Did you know that Jerusalem in Israel is the exact center of the earth's land? If you start in Jerusalem and go east, or start in Jerusalem and go west, you go the exact same number of miles to get back to Jerusalem. Equidistant. And we just, you know, we just watch and look. But if the Bible is true, then Zion will triumph. And if Zion means the nation of Israel somehow, where God is, there will be triumph and victory. Turn one page, so you may not have to turn the page, to chapter 30 and verse 19. Chapter 30 and verse 19. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you." Now, that's God's mercy on Zion. Everything in here is good to Zion. Zion is never condemned. There's a verse later on that says there are some hypocrites in Zion, but God will deal with that too. But this is not. This is all blessing. People will dwell in Zion and will weep no more. And that fits with what we said, therefore, they will come rejoicing with everlasting joy will be upon their heads. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus said, "I'm come that your joy might be full." Salvation brings joy, not pleasure. Pleasure is fleshly. Pleasure is not wrong, but pleasure depends on what's pleasant to us as we operate in the natural realms of the physical world. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 4. "For thus the Lord has spoken to me." Now, see, this is the prophet. This is Isaiah speaking and what he's heard. "As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice nor disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill." Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
"A lion roars and a multitude of shepherds are summoned against him, he will not be afraid nor disturbed." And that's the way Zion will be. The Lord of hosts will come down. The Lord of hosts will take care of God's Zion, for Mount Zion. I want to share with you a little bit more in this. "Like birds flying about, the Lord of hosts defends Jerusalem. Defending, he will deliver it. Passing over it, he'll preserve it." Boy, some good words there, isn't it? Defend, deliver, pass over, and preserve. That's utter safety, isn't it? Then verse 9, he shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. That's safety, that's protection, that's well-being. All the enemies of Zion and Jerusalem will not make any difference. And even that later on we'll see there is some destruction, there's always going to be reconstruction. Our God reigns. Don't ever worry about who's in control. Then look in chapter 33. I may be skipping some, but I don't think. Chapter 33 and verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and stability will be, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Look at those wonderful blessings now of Zion. We're part of Zion. We've come to Mount Zion. We read that in Hebrews. That's how we got on this. We are at Mount Zion.
Thank you, Father.
And look at there. It's filled with justice, righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, stability, strength, salvation, and the fear of the Lord here is not that we are afraid of him, but we honor him for who he is, for his highness, his glory, his position, his majesty, and his rule over us. I don't know any more powerful verses in all the Bible than those, do you? Aren't those wonderful? Aren't you glad you're part of Zion?
Yeah.
Verse 14 of that same chapter. Now, this is a little different twist, you see. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? There's some hypocrisy there. And that's not good. They're afraid. And they ask these questions with this fear. And the answer, we have to read the answer so we won't leave confused and discouraged. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from the hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Now, those are the ones that are going to dwell in safety. There's some good teaching there. Walk uprightly, speak uprightly, despise what the oppressors have taken from them, from their gains. Gestures with his hands. I don't know what kind of gestures that would be, and I didn't do too much research on most of this, but get away. Refusing bribes.
Yeah.
Refusing bribes. Who stops his ears from the hearing of bloodshed. Don't tell them. Don't tell me anything about what you're killing, what you're doing. Don't want to hear it. Because underneath Zion knows our God reigns. Verse 16 says, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him and water will be sure. And you have to have bread, and you have to have food, and you have to have water. So God will never allow Zion to starve. Chapter 34, verse 8. It is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. God is going to take care of Zion. There will be some problems, there will be some defeat, there will be some sieges, there will be some enemy attacks, but God's going to take care of Zion. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Chapter 35 and verse 10. And we've sung this, we sang it this morning. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Well, I think that this is probably the ultimate Zion, don't you? I think that in the Revelation where it says he wipes away all tears,
amen,
that then and only then will be the complete end of human sorrow. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
So Zion is an eternal word. It is heaven. It is where God lives. And we sang it. The redeemed of the Lord, this translation says ransom, to mean the same thing. And there's some wonderful words in there. Singing, joy, gladness. Singing, joy, and gladness. That's Zion. That's our place in Jesus. chapter 37, excuse me, chapter 37 and verse 22. I have to read 21 because that 22 is the middle of a sentence. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and that's their tax. You see, Israel has always been a battleground. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Not going to get anything done. Not going to do any defeat. The virgin there is the clean, pure. The daughter of Zion is that which Zion has produced. She has despised and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed, verse 23 says, against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high against the Holy One of Israel? And it goes on to tell us that there will be victory. There's going to be problems, but there's going to be victory. And verse 32 says, For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant. That's good, isn't it? And those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God will always have a people. He will always have a people. A remnant is the word we use. We think of remnants more in textiles and material, you know, cloth area. A remnant's what's left on the boat when most of it's gone. And the remnant of Israel was what was left of the nation when most of it had been taken captive and had been swept away. And chapter 30. I got 32 there. Chapter 40 and verse 9. O Zion. Now see, this is a familiar one too. O Zion, you who bring good tidings. Get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid and say to the city of Judah, cities of Judah, behold your God. Zion is the place of announcement of the reign, the rule, the majesty, and the power, and the glory of the God that we serve. It is His habitation. It's where He lives. And, of course, this is figuratively as we see it, that Zion was a real physical place in Bible times, and it still is. But it's nothing really to it. Very unimpressive. Just a hill. In Israel, hills were called mountains. In Europe, the Alps are called mountains because they're high. And the Pyrenees between Spain and France, they would be high. But mountains in Israel are just kind of slopes. But they're still called mountains. And Mount Zion is one of those places that slopes. And there's really nothing majestic to it. If you don't know who you are and what Zion is, you know, nothing to it. Just another place. But I was excited about it when I saw it and disappointed that it wasn't anything to it, really. But you see, Zion is a heart concept. It's a spiritual realization. And then, looking at 40 verse 9, there's a good verse. Look at verse 28 there, and chapter 40. Look just because it's good. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. Y'all getting that? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the faint. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord, now I'll tell you what, this is what I read it to you for. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You've heard this so much, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you see, we need an eagle mentality instead of a buzzard mentality. That's right. We need to know who we are. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to not only wait on him and serve him, we need to wait for his instruction.
Yes.
Be his army.
Yes.
He's the commander.
Yes.
And we're the troops. We wait on his instruction. Then we'll be strong. Good preaching in here, isn't it?
Yes.
And verse 41, verse 27. Verse 21, verse 27. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give to Jerusalem the one who brings good tidings. And this is, of course, having to do with the futility of idols. And this begins in verse 21, the futility of idols. Nothing to idols. The first time I said to Zion, there they are, and I'll give to Jerusalem the one who brings good tidings. There's nothing to idolatry. They know nothing. They bring nothing. But the idols that are there. But you listen to me, he says, and I'll give Jerusalem the one who brings good tidings, and which is a prophetic utterance of a prophet or a voice to come or someone who will come to continue to carry out God's program. Verse 46 and verse 13. Really, we have to look at 12. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I'll bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Isn't that a beautiful promise? You stubborn-hearted, those that won't listen. And God's people got that way. They went into idolatry. They went into disobedience. They were captured, destroyed, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, but God preserved a remnant. And this remnant has a place called Zion. God's people have a holy habitation called Zion. And it's spiritual. You really can't just nail it down. But I understand it, don't you? The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come unto Zion. You are not come to Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion. And you remember who all is there? The spirits of just men made perfect, to an innumerable host of angels, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Yes.
Now that's Zion. Doesn't that tickle you?
Thank you, Lord.
That's 46, verse 13. Now look at 49, verse 14 through 16. The topic of this, the title of this particular group of verses in this particular Bible that I have is God Will Remember Zion. Anybody else have that right there before verse 14? God will remember Zion. But Zion, you see, being in oppression and in discouragement, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. You ever get like that? Yeah. Sure you do. But you know what? The answer is there. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget. Now, they may forget. Yet I will not forget you.
Yeah.
And it's most unlikely that a nursing mama will forget a child. And if that mama forgets, that child ain't going to forget. He's going to holler his head off. If you know anything about nursing babies, they're going to holler. They make a noise. But a mother, you see, if that's ever been your experience, a mother has a bondage of tie that to a child that she's nursing. Words can't describe it.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Bible says that that is the way God will take care of Zion. More compassion, more relation, more responsibility for Zion than a nursing mother. Isn't that sweet? I want to read the rest of that for you because it's so good. Surely I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All those gathered together and come to you as I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourself with them as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride. You're going to put them on and take care of them. They're not going to be any problem. For your waste and desolate places and the land of your destruction will now even be too small for its inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children you will have after you've lost the others will say again in your ears, the place is too small. Let me give me a place where I can dwell. And it will say in your heart, who has begotten those for me, since I lost my children, I'm desolate, a captive, wandering to and fro, and who has brought us up? There I was, left alone. But these, where are they? And the Lord God answers. We can't read all of them, but he said, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up a standard. In other words, all of these say that God's going to take care of Zion.
Thank you, Lord.
Zion is where God has supreme authority. And you see, there was the law in the old covenant, Mount Sinai. There's the fulfillment in the new covenant, Mount Zion, where God really is. And then, that's 49, look at 51, chapter 51, and verse 3. The Lord will comfort Zion. Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, God's going to be good to Zion. It's going to be as pretty as the Garden of Eden.
Uh-huh.
That's what it says. He will make her wilderness like Eden. What has been destroyed, what has been captured, where there's been heartache, where there's been waste, he is going to bring it back as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Thank you, Lord.
And what's wonderful is that we are part of this, and we need to appreciate it and rejoice in it and live like it and let our light shine.
Mm-hmm.
That we can be advertisement for Zion. And then look at verse 11, there it is again. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy. Haven't we had this before?
Yeah.
With everlasting joy on their head, they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away.
Yeah.
That has to be heaven.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Because, you know, it says there that God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more sighing there. There'll be no more sorrow there. There'll be no crying there.
Right.
So here we see Zion as a picture of heaven.
Yeah.
Sure sounds good, doesn't it?
Amen.
Won't be any more sorrow there. No more heartache. It will come with joy and singing and thanksgiving. Wonderful, wonderful. Verse 16, the Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 15 said, look at verse 15. Oh, this is so good. 12 and 13, just let your eyes glance at them. And 14, the power, the wonder, the majesty of who he is and what he has done. Verse 15 says, I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared. You remember what that happened, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're here today.
Exodus 15.
Yeah. God divided that Red Sea, made two big high walls of water. Took away the mud. They got through. They didn't even get their shoes muddy. Came through on dry ground.
Amen.
And did they ever sing and celebrate? Man, they said, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The first time that word sing, song, and sang, any of those three words is mentioned, is there in Exodus. Did you know that?
No,
well, that's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sing, sang, and song. Exodus chapter 15, and this is what they were singing about, because God had led them through on dry ground, and Pharaoh was right behind them. He was breathing down their neck, and they were scared to death. And God told Moses, says, part that Red Sea. What you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. He said, use it. And Moses put that rod out over that water, and that sea parted, and every one of those Israelites, and they weren't just 200 or 300 of them. There were 2 or 3 million of them. There was a bunch of them. They all got through, and the minute they got through, when the last one got through, those walls of water came crashing down and drowned Pharaoh and every all of his army. See, I don't believe that. Well, I have to take that up with him. I think it's in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 15, I believe if my concordance is right, Saul sang this song, I Will Sing. So, the first time something's mentioned in the Bible, it has a continual inference, a continual application. So what we're to sing about is deliverance.
Yes.
What we're to sing about is redemption.
Thank you, Lord.
What we're to sing about is being protected and delivered from the enemy and his power.
Mm.
And we spend so much time murmuring that we don't have much time for singing. I was listening to somebody talk about real worship not long ago. And this person was saying, real worship is not just getting together and singing. That's good, you need to do that. But real worship is the attitude that you have in your heart toward the Lord that you're singing to and singing about. That worship is an individual experience. And praise is the same way. You can make a lot of noise. You can hoot and holler and run and jump and act wild as a Comanche Indian. But it's you and your relationship to Him that constitutes praise and adoration. True worshipers, yes, that scripture. Where is that? You know right off. True worshipers, such as the Lord seeks.
That's John 4. That's where he talked to the woman at the
well. Yes, yes, yes. It's always so sweet to me to remember the kind of people that Jesus would have, you know. That old gal had been married 5 times and was living in adultery. And Jesus ministered to her and revealed to her the great truth of the living water.
Uh-huh.
And that old girl left that water pot and went back to town and preached the gospel. She was the first evangelist in the New Testament.
Thank you, Lord.
She's the one we have first record of going and preaching and telling the good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's Isaiah verse 51, verse 3. We will comfort Zion for her waste places, make her wilderness like Eden, beautiful. I think we just read that in verse 11. The ransomed of the Lord, we read that. And verse 16. No, this is good stuff here. I'm the Lord your God who divided the sea. That's where we left off. The Lord of hosts is his name, Jehovah Sabaoth. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and say to Zion, you are my people. Somebody needs to shout. And say to Zion, you are my people. That's what we've come to, not to Sinai, not to religion, not to ritual, but to reality, to where our God reigns on Mount Zion, and we are the citizens of Zion. Chapter 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. That's what we need to do. Get up, wake up. The greatest need in America today is for the church to wake up and be the church.
Yes. Yes.
I'd get in trouble for saying that some places, but I'd probably say it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The great need in this nation is for the church to wake up.
Yes.
Wake up. Put on your beautiful garments. Be the church. Come against all this sin and filth and violence that's going on in this nation.
Uh-huh.
Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Now, you see, this is a final analysis. This is not what it is today. This is what it's going to be. This is the ultimate realization of the citizenship of Zion. And verse 2, shake yourself in the dust. Don't you love that? Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Get up. Be who you are. Be what I've called you to be. Put on the brightness of your garments and put on the strength of your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's what the church needs, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm surprised somebody hadn't preached that. That's what the church needs. Clean up. Get up. Be the church.
Right.
Stop the compromise.
Mm.
Verse 7. How beautiful, and this is a good one. We know this one. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of great things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful on the mountains of them that bring good news, that announce peace, and say, our God reigns. Your God reigns. God is in control. And you know what? He said, well, why is there so much sorrow? He didn't make men to be puppets.
Mm-hmm.
He made men, the human race, with intelligence to make choices. And he has set before mankind good and evil. And we have a responsibility to choose good and to obey the word. Let me tell you may not agree with this, but I really believe this, and churches need to see this, that this Bible is the most valuable thing that a Christian has, that a church has, that a pastor has, and to teach it is our greatest need and responsibility, because everything you need to know to be in the glorious church is in here. Everything. And every pastor, evangelist, Bible teacher that I know, missionaries too, said there's less interest in the Bible as time goes on. See, Jesus said the love of many would grow cold, but he endures to the end shall be saved. You know, there's a, Paul says, fight the fight, good fight of faith. Christianity is never a slumber party.
That's right.
Christianity is a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is a Christianity is made up of people who obey God and glorify him and let their light shine to be witnesses to others. The great apostasy, the great falling away. Are we in it? We don't know what's ahead. We know what's behind us. We know what we see going on. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. But I tell you what, we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
Because our God reigns. To the citizenship of Zion, the announcement is, your God reigns. That's chapter 52, I believe, is it? Am I in 52? Verse 1 and 2 and 7, we read that, and 8, your watchmen shall lift up their head, their voices, with their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. You see, Jerusalem, Judea, all of that was conquered, was captured. In A.D. 70, the awful destruction was there. We don't know whether that has any influence. I was so tickled. There were two or three of these verses, and this might have been one of them, but I have a wonderful, wonderful set of books on Isaiah. Really, really good. So I got those books down, and I got to looking at some of these verses. You know what these authors said? There's really no concrete, specific interpretation of these verses. And this could mean that, and that could mean that. But they all agree that Zion is triumphant.
Thank you, Lord.
That's such a comfort to me, that men that really are really thought to have every answer will admit that there's some things you just can't really put in place.
Mm-hmm.
That is an act of sincerity.
Yeah.
You see, you can't ever trust a know-it-all. Babe Ruth used to say, it's better not to know so much than to know so much it ain't so. Old football player. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher his ways than our ways. We just don't know everything. Let me finish this up. Verse 8 of chapter 52, verse 8, we read that, didn't we? Yes. Look at verse chapter 59. I don't think I'm skipping any, but I might. I hope not. Verse 59, chapter 59, verse 20. And this is good news. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from the transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. The transgression in Jacob must refer to all of the disobediences and the problems and the sin that Old Testament Israel got into, but the Redeemer's going to come to Zion, and those who will turn away from all that transgression, they'll be in Zion.
Mm.
I want you to look at chapter 60, and there is not, I don't have a verse for Zion there, but I want you to listen with both ears and all your mind and heart and mouth to Isaiah 60, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Find it and mark it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it now. Look, I want you to read it before I read it.
Yeah.
The nation and the kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. And I'm not a prophet of doom, and I don't mean to be that way, but I want to tell you something, my friends. If America doesn't repent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most of us, and me and a few of you, we've had a long, good life. I've had such a wonderful, fulfilled life. And most of you have, haven't you? You've had a lot of blessings in your life. But you know what? If this thing continues, I fear for our kids and our grandkids. What kind of society will it be when God acts in his anger?
Yes. That's right.
But Zion is safe, you see. I mean, glory to God. God's people are safe.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, regardless of what you hear on television, that doesn't mean that you won't ever have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you can always write a check for $1,000. That doesn't mean that you're going to be totally protected from all kinds of misfortune, because Jesus said, through much in the world you'll have tribulation. That ain't good news. But the next thing he said is, he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Thank you, Lord.
And all the good promises now are to the overcomers.
Uh-huh.
And you can never be an overcomer if you don't have something to overcome. That'd be a good thing to look at, wouldn't it? The overcomers in Revelation and what they're promised. Paul said, through much tribulation you will enter the kingdom of God. Well, he ought to know he was beaten and snake bit and left for dead and cursed and kicked and everything else that could happen to a man would happen to Paul. But he said, I'm more than a conqueror. Heard a preacher talking one time, I can't remember his name now, I don't remember where he was preaching. He said, I want to announce to you that I have the degree of all degrees. And he kind of, you know, and everybody looked at him. He said, I have my MTC degree. More than conqueror. You see, and that's the strength of the church. That's what we should be able to say. I was reading this one morning 2 or 3 years ago, and I had never seen this. I had taught it, but I'd never seen it. The nation that does not serve thee shall surely perish. And look at the nations of the world that have once been strong, victorious nations, and now they are nothing. It's true, isn't it? Well, just think about that and pray for our nation as you do. Chapter 61, verse 3. We're going to finish this. Y'all just hold on a little bit. Verse 3. This is really good. The Spirit of the... It has started verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. You've heard that before in the New Testament, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus talking. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. You remember in the New Testament where they told Jesus, went in the synagogue and they handed him the Bible and he took the Old Testament, he read that from Isaiah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he finished reading it, he closed and sat down.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Lord.
And they were talking about him and he said, I'm come to do it. I'm come to comfort those who are in Zion. To give them, oh, I love this, verse 3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Thank you, Lord.
That they may be called trees of righteousness. See, you've got to be a tree so you can bear fruit. You didn't get that.
Yes.
We are God's planting. And the fruit of the Spirit is what the seed of God planted in us produces. There are 9 of them, and you know what they are. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I did some research on trees. I'm going to do a message on trees. What kind of tree are you? I used to sing, you know, out of that psalm. I can't remember the name. I'm a tree. I'm an olive tree. I'm a green olive tree. I was singing that one day at High Neighbor and got an audience. I was just shopping, you know. I wasn't even aware of what I was doing. I was just pushing my little buggy and singing, I'm a tree, I'm a tree. And I tell you, the people, hallelujah. They thought I was crazy, but I didn't care what they thought. Verse 14, we read Isaiah 14 there. The sons who afflicted you shall come bowing to you. And you see, this is God's people. Those are, they're going to come bowing to you. And those who despise you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall cry to you, the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And still in 60. Did I skip 14? I'm sorry. Look back at chapter 60, verse 14. We did not read that, which means that those who attack Zion, God's going to put them in their place. Zion will never be defeated. And I want to read 21 to you. It doesn't have Zion in it, but I want to read 21 to you. Isaiah 60, 21. Your people shall all be righteous.
Yeah.
They shall inherit the land forever.
Mm-hmm.
The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God gets the glory.
That's right.
None of us can do anything at any time to take any glory for ourselves.
Amen.
God's glory. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong one. I, the Lord, will hasten at any time. That is the way that God can take nothing and make a big something, and He can take something and make it to be nothing. Don't underestimate His power nor His authority. Now, chapter 61, verse 3. We read that. That's what Jesus read in the synagogue that day. Verse 10. It does not have Zion in it, but I won't read it anyway. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and the garden causes the things that are sown to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. It's still talking about Zion. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Let's look at 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. This is the assurance of Zion's salvation. I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. God will never give up. He will always bless Zion. And the Gentiles, that is the unsaved, the unbelieving nations, that doesn't mean the Gentiles as we think of them, but God is talking to His people, Israel, and all nations outside His people in the Old Testament referred to as Gentiles. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all her kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. And He talks about the blessings of His people, starting with the concept of Zion, and that's 62 verse 1, and look at 62 verse 11. The Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the world, saying to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, His reward is with Him, and the people shall call them the holy people. Now listen to this. They, that is those who are not in Mount Zion, those who realize God's power, those who are observant will call them, that is the inhabitants of Zion, the holy people. The holy people. That's not a popular topic either. The redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be sought out, a city not forsaken.
Thank you, Lord.
How many different expressions and ways that Zion is described as being safe, protected, blessed, fulfilled, righteous. That's where God is. And that's where the writers of Hebrews said, now you haven't come to the Old Testament and the law, you've come to the New Testament and Mount Zion, where God lives, where God rules. That is verse 11 of chapter 62. Look at chapter 64. And this has to do with destruction. Your holy cities are a wilderness. are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple where our fathers praised you is burned with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us severely? And all of the next chapter has to do with God's righteousness in his judgment. Now, that was another verse that I looked up from the authorities, and they said that there was really no positive identification of when this happened. It could be that when the northern or the southern kingdom fell, that Zion became a waste, a wilderness. It could be referred to the future burning and destruction of Jerusalem. But what he is saying, that even though enemies will destroy and destruct and bring damage and harm and discouragement to God's people, there will be restoration.
Thank you, Lord.
Zion cannot be destroyed.
Yes. Yes.
God's dwelling place.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 65, you see, deals with the righteousness of God's judgment. The whole chapter has to do with that. And the glorious new creation. And you see, this goes way over into the end. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And when you read prophetic statements, they're usually two or three times in Bible history that you could attach them to.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can't be dogmatic and say, this means this and this means then. But what it is, that no matter who comes against Zion, our God is going to protect Zion because that is his habitation.
Mm-hmm.
And to think, you see, that the church shares that. Chapter 66, verses 5 and on are about the vindication of Zion. Verse 66. No, I didn't say 66. 66. Verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. And he's not talking about a natural childbirth. He's talking about this wonderful place. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Highly figurative.
Yes.
But that just means there's going to be a population in Zion. And there may have been tribulation. There may have been painful childbirth. There may be painful processes in this production. But Zion will be the place of God's children. Verse 9 through 12 are good. Shall I bring it to the time of birth and not cause delivery? That's good, isn't it? Am I going to let her go through all of this and then not bring her out? Shall I cause delivery to shut up the womb? Shall I stop the process before the church is born? No. Birth follows labor. The womb is open. The child is born. And he is comparing this, you see, to what's going to happen in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. He's talking about Zion, talking about the city of God, talking about where God lives, talking about God's habitation, talking about heaven, talking about the church. All that's true, you see, where God is God. verse 12 is beautiful. The Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. He's going to bring other nations in, you see, to be a part of this great Zion. Aren't you glad he did? Ain't a Jew here, is it? That's how we got in. And then you shall feed on her side, you shall be carried and be dawdled on her knees. Boy, that's the height of petting. Did you ever put a child on your knees and pat him and love him? And that's the height of affection. Right? You remember the joy? Put a child on your knees, mamas and daddies. And sing and love. See, that's what God feels for people. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. You see, God is revealing his power, revealing his goodness, and those who experience it are going to be glad. And if you aren't glad about the triumph of Christ, then really you don't. You need to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it begins, with Jesus' victory. That's where the church victory begins, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave at the cross.
Yes.
And rose victoriously. And he is alive forevermore at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything to fuss about.
Amen.
We have everything to rejoice. And that's why Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore.
Yes.
And everything give thanks. And pray without ceasing, but this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. There's so much more for us to rejoice in. And boy, we find more to nitpick about, don't we? How many of you besides me will admit you do nitpick? You find something to fuss about?
Thank you, Lord.
It can be anything.
Yeah.
That you find disagreeable.
Uh-huh.
About church, about the assembling of the saints.
Uh-huh.
About the provision of God.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's wonderful. It's victorious.
Mm.
Your heart shall rejoice. Your bones, the Lord will come with fire. And that's power. That's what it takes to get rid of something, is fire.
Mm-hmm.
And with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh. Now think about that. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's scary. There will not be a great company. That's what it says. I'm not sure I know what it means. But we must all appear at the judgment and give an account.
Mm-hmm.
But John saw a great multitude.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, from every generation. That's right. There won't be just a few there. There may be just a few at this particular time, but there's going to be a great multitude out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe.
Amen.
And they're going to be singing hallelujah. That's biblical.
Thank you, Lord.
And you have everything in the world to gain by believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in the world to lose by not believing it.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a multitude. Those, now here's this is the instruction. Here, those who sanctify themselves. So you're set apart by the Holy Spirit, but sanctification is your business.
Mm.
Continued growth in holiness and sanctification is each of our responsibilities, and it comes with obedience. It starts with love. And it's carried on with obedience. Loving the Lord, loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Loving our enemies, praying for those that persecute us. You can't beat the Beatitudes. That Sermon on the Mount's got it. That's our instruction. Those who sanctify and pure themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. That's scary, isn't it? Those who go to the gardens after an idol in the midst of the gardens, eating swine's flesh. See, that was illegal in Old Testament times.
Mm-hmm.
And the mouse. I never heard of them eating mice, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine anything any worse than that. The Bible says it shall be consumed together.
Mm-hmm.
But our God reigns and there's peace and joy. You've come to Mount Zion. To the general assembly of the firstborn, to an innumerable company of angels, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have probably a lot of questions, and there's a lot of, you know, interpretations of this that I didn't get around to. Some of them I could do, some of them, you know, like the excellent writers, the authorities say there's really no set interpretation. I'd rather they do that than skip it. Have you ever picked up a Bible reference and said, oh, I wonder what that means, and they just don't comment on that?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You say, well, they're dumb bunnies, they don't know either. And we're a whole lot more honorable just to say, I do not know.
Uh-huh.
But this one, I can't remember the author's name, it's a 3-volume set on Isaiah. And he says there's no valid interpretation. No one is sure of a valid interpretation of some of these scriptures. Isn't that good to say that?
Yeah.
But everywhere Zion is, there's going to be restoration. There's going to be safety. There's going to be the presence of the Lord. And that's where the New Testament church has come to. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll look at the references in the New Testament. I want to, if you'd take, like to have one of these, Bob Fraley, and I went to the post office, into my mailbox one day, and I found a little booklet that he had written, and it was just excellent. I don't remember the first one. And then there was another one, and then he wrote the third one, was Prepare Yourself, and he was talking about growing in grace. And then this one is called It Will Be Worth It All.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't find any fault with any of it. It really glorifies the Lord, and he'll send them to you free. That's good, you see. If you want to send postage money, good. If you don't worry about it. If you'd like to have one, Joe, would you pass these out? If you'd like to have one of these. Is there anyone in here who is interested in the Mexico newsletter and has not gotten a copy of the latest Mexico newsletter? I have that, if you want it.